Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast, calling all warriors to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stay tuned for today's message. God, which will demonstrate that God is a warrior. This is the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. So glad to be with you and thankful and blessed to be with you again for another episode of the Warriors of the Bible. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters in India, for tuning into the broadcast. We love you so much. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters in India. Please drop me a line on the email. Let me know how you like the program, if you can. Brothers and sisters in New Zealand, thank you for listening. In the United Kingdom, the UK, I thought that was part of the, New Zealand was part of the UK. I'm not sure, but brothers and sisters in England, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. In Norway, thank you so much for listening to the Warriors of the Bible. We just thank you so much for that. Power Warrior 25, POWER 25 at yahoo.com is the email address. Drop us a line. Let us know how you enjoy the broadcast. We are so glad to be with you today on the Warriors of the Bible. Amen. iHeartRadio, we are so glad that you carry Warriors of the Bible. You're our biggest listener. Thank you so much, Blog Talk Radio, for carrying the broadcast. Tune In Radio, thank you so much, brothers and sisters listening to us on Tune In Radio. CastBox, thank you so much on the CastBox. Pod app, iTunes, thank you so much, brothers and sisters that listen to us there. Those that just catch us on the internet, amen. We thank you so much for that, and there's others too. But we're growing in this incredible time, especially here in the United Sodomites of America. Amen. You know, I'm not a big Trump fan. You know, I'm not against him or for him. For crying out loud, I just don't know how you can impeach a man twice when he hasn't been impeached the first time. They're saying here that this is the second impeachment of a president. I don't remember the first one. Maybe I missed it. Brother James must have missed it, because I remember them trying to impeach him, but it didn't succeed. So that's zero impeachments. But I don't know. And from what I understand is, before we get into the Bible study, the idea behind this is that he could never run for president again. I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know why any American should not have the opportunity to run for president. If you can have these rappers and hip-hop artists running, you know, why would Donald Trump not have an opportunity to be the president again. He didn't do anything so bad as a president. I mean, I don't see America has fallen apart or been invaded by a foreign power. So this seems to be a little more to it than politics. But you know, in the United Sodomites of America, no matter which way you turn, when you uncover wickedness and sin and animosity and everything at every corner. You just can't really sit down and say of this great country that it is so great. I mean, this here is just doesn't make it, it's just wrong. I would say it's wrong. Being a guy who is not a Trump fan, I'm a fan of right. I don't see any right in it. You know, and finally, again, you have them saying that he incited the riot and the violence and the invasion of the Capitol building and all that. But that cannot be true either, because there are hundreds and thousands of people that marched on the Capitol. Only a handful actually broke in. If he was behind it, if he did say, I don't remember any speeches of him saying it. Maybe there's some speeches out there of Donald Trump saying to his supporters, go down and march and break in the Capitol building. There might be some speeches out there, but I've never heard them. But if he did say that, if he did say to all of his supporters, go down to Washington and break in the Capitol building, there were hundreds of thousands of his supporters out at the Capitol building, but only a handful broke in. That means that truly, truly, everyone has their own mind. You can't make anybody break in the Capitol building. If a person's going to do it, they're going to do it. If they're not, they're not going to do it. So I guess Donald Trump of himself cannot, he can imply, but he can't force anyone to do that. So it's going to be a bad outcome to this thing, and I'll leave it at that. But it just goes to show you, all men are evil. Even those who you think are doing good are evil when you sit down and examine it. And there's no righteousness but of God. And that kind of gets into our Bible study today to get us going. So let's talk about the Bible study. All right? So we are going to go to Genesis chapter 1. Or Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. But if you don't have your Bible, you can just listen. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. Now, I'm going to be reading today from the Living Bible. These things make it more clear. But I'll be, of course, in the same scriptures that you are. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Verse 3, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Verse 4, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. Verse 5, but God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Today's message is entitled, amen, be not deceived. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Be not deceived. Now, what is this about? You know, and if you don't know, let Brother James give you his interpretation. There are the two greatest weapons that the loser, old slewfoot, the devil uses against believers. In this order, is fear, number one, no doubt about it, fear. And two, temptation. Not so much deception, but temptation. You can't be deceived unless you're tempted. Now, fear is a great weapon that the enemy uses. He has the legal right to use, amen, through all humanity. I'll give you a good example. Those of you that are listening to me that have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ years ago, you can remember how the Lord wooed you over years, how the Lord called you over years, used different people, different radio broadcasts or different television broadcasts or whatever he needed to do, different people in your life, in your family, whatnot. He wooed you slowly but surely to give your life to Jesus Christ. Now, you didn't just get saved to give your life to Jesus Christ the first time you heard the word of God. But all that time that he was bringing you to Christ, you had fear, especially as an unbeliever when you heard someone talk about Revelation or the mark of the beast or hell. Whenever any person talks about hell, a believer talks about hell to an unbeliever, shakes go through them. And the fear that you have, you learned years later after you became a Christian, because you couldn't understand, fear usually drives you to God, okay? The fear that you had legitimately were not just human fear. I mean, why would you fear something when there's a way out? Why would you feel someone talking about hell and the burning lake of fire and every man has to die, and you don't want to hear that, but there's a way out. They're telling you to come to Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. The fear that you felt were the demons that were in you that kept you in bondage. But the demons that were in you as an unbeliever, when they heard the word of God, they became afraid that they would lose you, but mainly they became afraid that it was the truth. You thought it was human fear. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to talk about that now. So fear is the number one weapon of the devil for all mankind. But for believers, he uses fear. But he can only use it for so long until you learn that that's his weapon. And any fear, once you confront it, it becomes nothing. And with the devil as the lying coward that he is, once you confront the fear that the devil has put on you in any situation, you're going to find that he is a living coward. But temptation is number two only because he doesn't use temptation as number one. But temptation actually is a greater weapon, okay? Because fear doesn't stop you from doing anything. Fear could stop you in your tracks until God puts you in a position where you have to fight the devil and win. And you will realize as the time goes on, why was I afraid of this thing? But temptation is different. As we see here, as we dissect this scripture, these scriptures here, where temptation comes from. So as we get into this, you're going to understand that temptation has more to do with you than it has to do with the devil. And it really has to do with your devilish attributes than it has to do with the enemy's devilish attributes. Therefore, temptation is necessary to get out of you as a believer. Do you understand me? As an unbeliever, there is no temptation because there is no resisting not to yield to it. So temptation as a believer is what's used to make your weaknesses strong, and it has to happen, and you have to win. Temptation, first of all, well, let's get into this first. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible broadcast. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is, be not deceived, temptation is not sin. Number one. Temptation comes from an inward desire that is already in you. Oh, yeah. God said, let no man say that when he's tempted that God is tempting him. God does lead you into temptation, but he himself doesn't tempt you. Matter of fact, you can't go into temptation unless the Lord God leads you in there. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness, according to the scriptures, to be tempted. It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus was weak, We were weak. We are weak. We're not going to go in a situation where our weakness is going to be exposed. The Lord has to lead you there, whether you know it or not. You thought you applied for this job and they hired you, but as you see, there's more than you just getting a paycheck. That's your battleground. God led you there. God led Jesus. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. Well, if you're hungry, you haven't eaten in 4 days, and you're weak, why would you go in the wilderness? Well, Jesus would say, I didn't go there. For the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. It's an inward desire that's already there. See, when things begin to manifest, that means you're on the way out. Amen. So we see right here, as we go to the scriptures, verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, who said it was, and pleasing to the eye, who said it was good for food? Well, she said it because it pleased her eye. Uh-huh. And also desirable for gaining wisdom. Who wanted to be wise? She did. Okay, verse 3, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. Verse 4, here's Satan saying you will not die. And in verse 5, God knows, the serpent is talking to Eve, that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. Why did Eve want to be like God? That's what the whole thing, if she says, I don't want to be like God, I'm happy with what I got now, there would be no temptation. Number 2, temptation comes from the thoughts that God has and is still withholding from you. Oh, let me do that again. The devil convinces us of a desire that's already there. He convinces us in temptation that God is withholding something from you that you should have and you should get it. So the temptation comes from thoughts that God has and still is withholding something from you. There's something more that he needs to give his good and humble servant, which is you and I, but he's withholding it. Right? I mean, what's wrong with having your eyes open? If I'm a head that all dominion over all created beings, all the animals and everything else in the garden, then my eyes should be open because I can't have dominion like God said if my eyes are not open. I mean, if I can eat from all the other trees and eat freely from them, well, why can I eat from this tree? So you don't even question during temptation. I've been a good man. I've been a faithful husband. But what's wrong with me, you know, getting with this young lady who's after me? That's not going to hurt nobody. Of course, temptation doesn't put you right there in the sexual sin. It puts you more in, my wife is not as pretty as this woman. You know, my husband has lost his hair. This guy likes me, and he's got a head full of hair. So that's where you start. God is withholding something from me. Number 3, you can be tempted by something that is pleasing to you. Now, I'm going back to that, amen, for a reason. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible. I'm your host, Brother James. Today's message is entitled Temptation. Be not deceived. Temptation is not sin. And I'll explain why it's not sin in a minute, because it's very important that you understand that we have an enemy who's behind the temptation, not as much as you think it is. So let me give you this scenario. God is the one that leads you into temptation. I know that you've heard that that's not true, yet it is clear Bible scripture, because, and the reason a brother or a sister or a teacher or a minister would say that God didn't do it, don't blame God. It's because if you yield to temptation, the outcome is God has to deal with you. So how could God deal with you at the same time he's responsible for it? So we'll go to the scriptures. Again, no gray areas here. And we'll explain it. So if somebody goes to the scriptures and explains it clearly, and you can't get it, then there is a problem between you and the teacher, and the teacher is not man. The teacher is always the Holy Ghost. The counselor is always the Holy Ghost. The one that leads you to all truth is the Holy Ghost. We see very clearly in the scriptures that David wrote in the Psalms, and he is the writer of the Psalms. There's been some dispute throughout the ages, but I believe he's the writer of the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and lead me not into temptation. That talks clearly about the shepherd is the one that protects the flock, and the flock wants for nothing because they have everything they need. The shepherd provides everything they need. Then it goes on to say, lead us not into temptation, or he leadeth me not into temptation. Well, what does that mean? God is the one that leads you into temptation. You can't be tempted unless God leads you there. We know that because the outcome to temptation is, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. When you endure temptation, you become stronger in that area. Temptation means to test for weakness. I'm on a diet. You know, I don't want to eat a lot of cake and cookies anymore, but someone's in there baking a cake and I can smell it, I'm tempted. Temptation is not a biblical issue, it's with anything. Okay? Temptation means you want what you are not supposed to have. Okay? So God leads us into temptation. Then, of course, we see the same thing here with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Holy Spirit, for Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. What was his weakness? He was a human being, and he had not eaten in quite a while. And he was pretty upset about the fact that he was the creator of the universe, but the Father had put him in this position. And the more if you look in the scriptures, that Jesus was in the position of a man, the more distraught he became, especially when he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked, "Please, is there another way, Father?" He was trying to get out of the thing because now he had time. Now it's time for it to happen. And his human emotions, he was a human being, kicked in and says, "I know what's going to happen, right? Is there a way to get out of it?" Now, I'll talk about that another time. Jesus had to have fear. He had to have anxiety. He had to be in these positions so that he would know, so that we would know that when we go through those things, he was there. There's another whole Bible study that people still don't understand why the Son of God had to become a man. Would have died for our sins, but that only took, 12 minutes for him to die on the cross, for him to give up the ghost on the cross? It didn't take all these 30-something years he lived and all the things he went through. That had nothing to do with death. That had to do with a human experience. But that, of course, is for another Bible study. So you have an enemy that will convince you that the tasting of temptation is sin. And everyone that has given up, that has quit, can give you the same thing. They could tell you the same answer. I couldn't finish the race. It got too much for me. I just couldn't live a Christian life anymore. I mean, I just wanted to go back out there. When the fact of the matter is, they were living a Christian life. They were succeeding. They were overcoming. And they won every battle. It was just a matter of not just holding on. It's just a matter of the taste of temptation, the taste of wanting to go back and do sin that was in them. They just didn't want to keep fighting. Even though the battle had gotten a lot less severe, because you just can't fight against something that's behind you. You got to always think about what you're thinking of. We have thoughts about things that have already happened that we've overcome. And the enemy will put those thoughts in there, but you're going to have to just take those thoughts out and you know, look forward. But you got to start thinking about what you're thinking about. You got to start thinking about what your mind is telling you. Amen. You can only be tempted by something that is pleasing to you. This is the key. Well, one of the keys. If something is pleasing to you, then you put temptation on yourself. In other words, you have to take the blame. When you start taking the blame, the temptation will more and more transparent to you. It will come to the point where I cannot believe, you'll say, I cannot believe that I was tempted by this. I can't believe I was going for this. You can see right through it. What the hell? I was actually liking her. I was actually liking him. I was actually wanting to get in a fight and use profanity toward this person. That's because as long as you continue to resist the temptation, you will come to the knowledge that the sin is in you. Not saying you're going to sin, but the idea to sin, the weakness is in you. Now, I've said it again. Why? We say that in the scriptures clear that God is the one that leads us into temptation. Because when you're led into temptation, God's only going to do what's needed to make you more like his son. And if temptation is needed for the weakness to become a strength, he's going to lead you into temptation, because the end result of that temptation is if you do not yield, slowly but surely the veil of that temptation is going to be raised, and you're going to see, and you're going to be a stronger man of God, a stronger woman of God in that area. Now, you think the devil would do that? Well, that wasn't his plan, but that's the way it came out. No, no, no. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. God's plan is to make you impervious to sin. And again, like I said before, the way that he does it is when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost come to live in you, they don't take away your old nature. I wish that they would. They don't. And, you know, you hear somebody, a brother or sister, say, you're a new creature in Christ. Exactly. But that word creature is spirit being, because you're not a new human being, because Paul talked about the flesh like it was going out of style, and that man was he wasn't Saul of Tarsus anymore. But he still talked about the old nature. And until you understand that you are the same person you were before you got saved, because you're still your father's son and your mother's daughter and your aunt, your uncles, in the generational line of sin, and your particular sin is right there. Brother James, you know one thing? When I got saved, man, before I got saved, man, I used to love ice cream pies, man. I would eat an ice cream pie every day, but our Lord took that away from me, man. I'm saved. I don't need ice cream pie anymore. There's nothing sinful about ice cream pie, but it is human and fleshly. You understand what I'm saying? So you take that over to Brother James. You know, before I got saved, man, you know, I would cuss anybody out, brother. I would cuss him out. Now, if this man says he doesn't cuss anymore, Brother James already knows why. Because after he got saved, God put him in the most cussable situations ever. Oh, boy, I remember in my own life, I haven't used profanity in over 30 years, but I told you, God put me through the ringer. Man, he put me in every situation. He brought everybody to me that could make me cuss and swear as a baby Christian. But brother and sister, I'm just telling you that you can win. You're listening to the Warriors of the Bible. I'm your host, Brother James. We're coming to the end of our message, but listen, temptation is not sin. It tastes like sin, but it's not sin. Don't be deceived by the enemy when you're tempted that you're sinning. You can't go on. You can go on, and you can go on and win. Until we meet again, may God keep you in perfect peace.